This is the Quality News Network. President Bush concludes his European tour today in Bulgaria with the discussions about the proposed U.S. missile defense system and free market economic trade. The president returns to the White House this evening. Iraq's controversial Sunni parliament speaker was voted out today. He will be replaced by another Sunni Arab. The speaker has been called radical and erratic by fellow lawmakers. The UK's future Prime Minister Gordon Brown arrived in Baghdad this morning to meet with Iraqi officials. Britain, America's staunchest ally in Iraq, has already begun withdrawing its troops. Three U.S. soldiers were killed and another six wounded yesterday when a suicide bomber blew up a major highway bridge south of Baghdad. Three other American troops were killed in other incidents over the weekend. In Camp Pendleton, a defense attorney says a military investigator has recommended charges be dismissed against a Marine officer accused in the Haditha killings. The officer was blamed for failing to investigate the incident. The recommendation is to handle the situation administratively. During an interview with Meet the Press yesterday, former Secretary of State Colin Powell said the 380 Guantanamo Bay prisoners should be moved to the U.S. immediately and the detention facility closed. The retired general said the prison is hurting America's reputation overseas. On Capitol Hill, the Senate today debates a no-confidence vote on Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. The White House calls the vote purely symbolic and says it will have no effect on Gonzalez's tenure. The Washington Post reports the CIA will trim 10% from its annual budget for contractors. About a third of CIA employees are private contractors. The agency's director says their work has not been supervised competently. In Connecticut, the governor says she hasn't decided whether to sign a medical marijuana bill passed by the state House and Senate. The legislation would permit some patients to grow a small amount of marijuana in their own homes. Connecticut would become the 13th state in the nation to adopt a similar stance on medical marijuana. Richard Rorty, one of the world's most influential modern philosophers, has died of pancreatic cancer in his Palo Alto home. He was 75. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have four convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our four branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Two American astronauts from the shuttle Atlantis will today make the first spacewalk of this latest mission. The Atlantis, launched Friday, brought equipment and personnel to install new solar panels on the International Space Station. Federal authorities have expanded an E. coli recall of fresh and frozen beef sold in 11 western states. More than 6 million pounds are involved. The meat was distributed by California's United Food Group. Scientists say the number of people with Alzheimer's and other brain diseases will quadruple in the next 40 years. One out of 85 people worldwide will suffer by the year 2050. The auction of a sword Napoleon wore in his Italian campaign won far more money than expected, $6.4 million. The gold-encrusted sword was acquired by an unidentified buyer yesterday during a French auction. A Chinese reporter sentenced to prison for a decade has joined a lawsuit against Yahoo, claiming the search engine turned information over to authorities, leading to his arrest. Yahoo says cooperating with the Chinese communist government is the price of doing business in the country. The Lundberg survey says in the past 3 weeks, prices at the pump fell for the first time since January. The most expensive gasoline was found in Chicago, the cheapest in Mississippi. Light sweet crude trading at $65.04. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
From Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Everybody, it's time to wake up, get the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe Radio Show for a Monday. How are you doing? Wake up, get up, get up, get up. Get your calisthenics, get out, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Move it, move it, move it. How was everybody today and how was everybody's weekend? I hope you had a good time this weekend. It was an interesting weekend for me. I got a little drama going on up here that I'll talk about slightly. But it was a beautiful weekend weather-wise, and I did manage to get out in it for a while. How's everybody doing? You know, and I haven't been on for a little while. There have been some a combination of personal issues for me and technical issues back at the site. They were fighting off wild rats. They spent the whole weekend in the studio in West Virginia fighting off wild rats, and they had to go out and get armaments and stuff like that. And it was a whole B-movie type of deal. So you had to be there. You had to be there. Actually, you kind of needed to be there because they lost 4 people and they needed all the help they could get. Oh, my goodness. You know, the thing about it is I make this stuff up and it doesn't sound any more crazy than the real stuff that's going on in the world. You know, that's the scary part to me, ladies and gentlemen. That's what really frightens me, that I could sit here and make up story after story and it wouldn't sound any stranger than the events that go on a regular basis in American politics. I mean, people saying and doing the most ridiculous, stupid things. Hang on a second. Get some water here. So anyway. Yeah, it's just, it was a very nice weekend here up in Little Bombay, and they had this big block party going on that my roommate ran into when he was going out to get some food. And, he was like, oh, my God, there are people jumping around and dancing and dancing. And since it's all mostly Muslims up here, they don't drink. And so there wasn't a lot of drinking involved, just a lot of jumping around and running around. And it was funny. Maybe they ran out on Saturday, because that was when the party was, because I went out on Sunday to get some gyros. So those of you who don't know what a gyro is, or a gyro, or however you want to pronounce it, G-Y-R-O, it's a Greek fast food thing. It's got like spiced lamb meat, which they put in a pita roll with lettuce and tomato and a certain type of like a sour cream sauce and all of that. And it's really, really delicious. And I love gyros. And I love lamb meat in particular. But I couldn't get any yet. Everyone said, Joe, hey, can you go out? When you're going out, can you get me a gyro? And I said, yeah, sure. So I'm going out there and I go to the one store we used to go to, a little shop off of California. And that's no longer there. So then I went down the street to a little shop, Rabbi, I think it's called. That's on Devon. And they didn't have any gyros. And then I went, there was a place across the street that I don't know how long it's been there, but I haven't been there yet. And they had these little pocket pitas. And I went there and I said, oh, we don't have any gyros. We only have chicken and we only have fish. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on here? I screamed to the wind. And then the cops had to come, and it was really, really kind of... What's wrong with you? There's no gyros! And the cops are on the corner with me. There's no gyros! And they start flashing the lights, yelling, gyros! Gyros! Okay, I'm making that last part up. But I think you already knew that. Man, oh man. Well, we had our landlord come up this week, and the poor guy, he works so damn hard. He actually works a regular job selling cell phones, Verizon cell phones, and he deals with this house, and he's got a couple other houses, and you know, all the issues that we have here in the building, not just with us, although we have some issues too, and it's like, he's coming here to fix the ceiling in the big bathroom. We've got 2 bathrooms here in this place. And this is a huge place. This is absolutely unbelievably huge. And there are 2 bathrooms. And the main bathroom we haven't been able to use because part of the ceiling is gone. So he went to get some drywall to put up a new ceiling and all that stuff. And we saw how tired he was. And it's like, dude, just hire somebody. And we know this guy, nice guy, named Maurice. Used to do some work when we were at the other place, at the girl's place. Long story. No time for that now. And we said, give him a call. Give him a call. And he'll do it for fairly cheap, and he did a really professional job of it, which he does. So he said, yeah, that's what he'd probably do. And that's really the way you should do it. You know, I mean, if you, you know, the landlords, you don't have to actually do the stuff yourself, although it's nice. Just, you know, hire somebody and make sure the stuff does get done. But we've got some issues here with the drain. This is an old building. And my roommate, Tommy, great guy, he tells me this might actually be the first building that was built on this spot. And it's probably close to 100 years old. And it's beautiful. It's solid brick. And, you know, that's what I love about Chicago, the fact that these buildings are solid. I mean, in Atlanta, you know, when you had a big storm in Atlanta, you always kind of braced yourself because the houses were made of crap, just drywall and cinder block. These things are solid. Big storm, you don't even know it's out there unless you open the window. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's brick. It's a brick apartment building. So, but because it's an old building, it needs a lot of work. We've got some drainage issues with the pipes, you know, and the kitchen sink sometimes is not drained, which is very annoying when you're trying to clean dishes. And, you know, you want to cook at home because you want to save money because eating out is expensive. If I have one vice, it's eating out. That's my one vice. People, you know, there are some people who drink, there are some people who smoke, there are some people who do drugs, you know, in a small way and in a big way, you know. And these can all be expensive habits. I mean, booze, I don't know what beer costs, I don't know what booze costs, you know, and all that stuff, but it's money that I don't have to spend, and yet I sometimes wind up not having enough because I go out to eat too much. And when I talk about going out to eat, I'm not talking about it. I'm going to the French restaurant today and order some and order some truffles and the cordon bleu. No, I'm running a McDonald's and getting a couple of cheeseburgers. Or more specifically, I'm going down to Wolfie's, which is kind of a famous hot dog place here in Chicago. Chicago, of course, is famous for hot dogs, and you know they're pretty good. But you can spend, you know, $5-6 easy, you know. And if I'm hungry, you're probably a little more, but never more than $10, you know. And you know that doesn't seem like it's a lot, but it adds up. And when you're not making a whole lot of money, you know that goes very, very quickly. So that's my big vice. That's the big vice I have. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I don't troll for prostitutes or whatever. I just eat out. And normally that wouldn't be a problem. But in this day and age, when people don't make enough money, then yes, it can get to be a problem. Because, you know, you're barely getting by as it is. And, you know, with my job in particular, that's not even working full time. I'm going to talk more about this when we come back. In the meantime, I would very much like for you to give me a call because I like to have conversations with people. That's what the Head On Radio does, ladies and gentlemen. We are conversation radio. We are not one guy rambling on radio. But give me a call, 304-658-5453, 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more on the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office 1-888-384-5249.
Peter Godbold here. Strictly Confidential begins June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Head On Radio Network. I hope you'll join us for the GLBT version of Conversation Radio, but that's not why I'm here at the moment. Have you noticed that the oppressor's smile is never from the heart? Their smiles seem to originate from some dark, inaccessible place. When they smile, we easily detect the underlying pathos of superiority, something nasty just under the surface. They hate us because they too can see the source of a smile. Our smiles spring from the understanding that all of us are equal before God, no matter what any preacher says, and that's just unacceptable. They hate us because unconditional love is something they do not have, it's something they will never have, and it's something they try to take from us every day of our lives. That's why I'm here. I wanted to remind you, be you gay, be you straight, or somewhere in between, never let the bastards keep you down.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
There's a lot of talk out there as how this E. coli in hamburger is dangerous to your health. Well, it's not as dangerous as the terrorists. They hate you. A toxic case of the runs ain't nothing compared to the smoke and rubble of your local Walmart. If you quit eating hamburger, the terrorists win. Hamburger doesn't hate your freedoms, but the terrorists do. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
What the hell was that? God. Oh, man. Don't do that to me, Bob. Don't do that to me. Beer, 12 for dinner, yeah. And here I was having my cheeseburger yesterday, and therefore I am not supporting the terrorists, thank goodness. Don't do that to me. Oh, man. And, it was good also to hear the Peter Godbold segment there, because I like Peter. I've listened to some of his work, and he's really good. And, you know, he's absolutely right. When you see these people, when you see the Dick Cheneys and the George Bushes of the world smile, it's not an honest, from the gut, this is really humorous smile. This is like, I'm going to kick your ass kind of smile. You know, or I just kicked your ass kind of smile. And it's really, you know, Dick Cheney doesn't smile, he sneers. You know, George Bush doesn't smile, he just kind of looks down at you and it's like, you know, if you're so smart, how come I'm president? You know, that sort of crap. But we laugh. I mean, we have a real honest, and I brought up this up before. I remember a little segment of I don't know what interview it was or press conference, but it was President Clinton and former Russia leader Boris Yeltsin, the late Boris Yeltsin, and I don't know what had happened. I don't know if Yeltsin cut loose with a fart or something like that, but Clinton was just laughing. Somebody had said something or somebody didn't. And it was just, you can look at it. There was nothing phony about it. There was nothing hateful about it. It was just a good, honest, from-the-gut laugh. And it's a mark of being human when you laugh like that. I question the humanity of people who can't laugh like that. There are people who only get humor, only get enjoyment out of watching somebody else suffer. What is that called? Schadenfreude? Schadenfreude? How do you pronounce it? The people who only really laugh at other people. And, you know, that's the kind of mentality they have. And you look at these people, and I've talked about this before, and I hate keeping repeating myself, but you know it's a radio show, so I have to sometimes lay the message down over and over again for new listeners, and to just remind people, old people, that as far as the Dick Cheneys and the George Bushes and those people are concerned, we're not human. We are not human. You know, we are just here so that they can make more money and get more power. If they had a technology where if they could kill us without consequence and continue on, they would do that. Because as far as they're concerned, the world only exists for them, and the world ends when they die. And that's the difference between these people and us here on the left. Because we want to build institutions that will survive us. And we want to build institutions to help make people's lives better and happier. We're not in the business of saying, you know, you all can be rich and wealthy and then have a desk made out of an airplane wing or something like that. Because we recognize that that's not the do-all and end-all of everything. And I look around the world, and, you know, I talk about my problems and stuff like that and the things that I've got going on. And granted, it's not been a very good time for me the last couple of years or so. Lack of employment, underemployment, unemployment, loss of my wife, all of this stuff. I've not had a very good, enjoyable life for the last couple of years. And yet I still find the occasional time to laugh. Okay? And what saddens me more, and I was discussing this with my roommate, what saddens both of us is the fact that we have a better life than probably around two-thirds or three-quarters of the world. We're talking about maybe 4 or 5 billion people on this planet. 4 or 5 billion out of the 6 billion that are there would give their right nut to be in the situation that my roommate and I are in. And it's not the most luxurious apartment in the world, but you know what? It's a nice big place, and it's a solid roof over our head, and we have running water, and we have gas, and we have electricity. And we all take that for granted. But for a lot of people in the world, you don't take those things for granted, because a lot of people don't have running water. A lot of people don't have electricity. A lot of people don't have a proper roof over their heads. And even though I still whine and complain and stuff like that, and I'm not saying that my life is good by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there were a lot of people who would have gone far off the deep end considering everything that's happened in the last couple of years, a lot more than I have. It still sounds like I'm just, you know, a little whiner and all that. Maybe that's all I am, you know. But on the reverse of that, is the kind of arrogance that's needed to say that, hey, I deserve this. I deserve something better. And some people have that and some people don't. And that's a two-way street, that arrogance. Because when it happens to nations, it's when you get imperialistic ventures like Iran, Iraq, and the Philippines. And that's when you eventually overstretch. Because, you know, the people who pursue those sort of things, they're going to go too far. Because too far is the only place they can go. They don't know how to stop. And to the Bushes and to the Cheneys and to the Republican leadership and to their financial backers, we're simply not human. We are, as someone in the chat room just said, we are consumers. We are here to buy stuff so that they can make money doing nothing. And that's basically what they want, to make money doing nothing. And so therefore, because they're bored and because they don't know what else to do, they've got to find other ways to prove their manhood or to prove their value in the world. And a lot of that includes who to bomb. Somebody's got something we want. We're not satisfied with what we've got, so we need to kill people and take it. The same was true with the old Roman Empire. I mean, that's how they made their money. They basically, you know, they'd conquer a place and they'd take all the stuff away. And then they'd tax them, make a new province and tax them. Now, granted, you know, for a lot of those people out there, they got some benefits from those taxes. They got Roman organization and Roman roads and Roman technology. But, you know, is that worth the price of having, you know, your sons and daughters killed? So your sons killed and your daughters raped? Which is what always happens, no matter how civilized the army. I think we're proving that now. What's the price you pay for that? And what has really changed? And people talk about, oh, Iraq, this is really horrible, this has never happened before. Well, actually, it has happened before. This is what we did in the Philippines 100 or so years ago. This is what we did in the Spanish-American War. This is what we were doing in Vietnam. Maybe not Korea, because Korea we had a lot more cooperation. And we weren't involved with doing torture and stuff like that. But then again, hardcore liberals were in charge of the country then. The problem isn't conservatives, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is conservatism. Because conservatism celebrates those aspects of life that the Founding Fathers were hoping to get rid of while in writing the Constitution. Because they wanted to build a system like any good liberal. And they were liberals in the sense that they were radical, in the sense that they were doing something that had yet to be tried. At least not for a long, long time. But they wanted to build a system that used people's ambitions against them, so that would last beyond their lifetimes. And that would prevent a group of small people from gaining power, because they understood what happened when that occurred. But conservatives hate that, because the conservatives believe that that small group of people in power deserve it by virtue of them having gotten it. It doesn't matter how they get it. Earning it is not a question. Having it is more important. We're halfway through, and again, I'd really relish some conversation here. Give me a call, 1-304-658-5453, 1-877-443-2366 on the toll. And come and join us in the chat room. Go to headonradionetwork.com, headonradionetwork.com, and click on the chat room link, and you can get there and talk to some of the smartest people on the internet. In the meantime, it's a little early, but let's take a little break. And we'll be back with more. The Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
South Africa has essentially been shut down by hundreds of thousands of striking public workers. Tensions began to rise when the strike began nearly 10 days ago, when the Congress of South African Trade Unions and the South African government failed to come to terms concerning a pay raise for workers. The union had originally demanded a 12% pay increase, but has recently reduced that to 10%. The government has proposed a pay increase of 6.5%. The rate of inflation in South Africa is 7%. The strike has begun impacting the health sector, and the Department of Health issued an ultimatum last week that if striking nurses did not return to work, they would be fired. This weekend, provincial health departments across the country began issuing their first letters of termination. According to South Africa's Minister for Public Service, Geraldine Jocelyn Fraser Moleketi, other essential service employees will be next in line to be fired, including principals and educators who have closed schools. The two sides have continued negotiations. Nuclear weapons plant workers sickened by plutonium exposure are still struggling for government compensation years after Congress approved it. Douglas Cunningham has the story.
I felt very cheated. I felt like I sacrificed my health even my life, working with very dangerous material, and then to wait 5 years, 6 years, and be slapped in the face by a denial.
Judy Padilla, a former worker at the Rocky Flats nuclear weapons plant in Colorado, expressing what it felt like to be denied compensation for cancer she believes was caused by her work. Workers who got cancer after long-term exposure to radiation at U.S. nuclear weapons plants were supposed to be given $150,000 and have medical expenses paid under a law passed by Congress, but most have been denied. A presidential panel is meeting today near Denver to consider granting the workers their compensation. Padilla says workers have already suffered horribly for years.
I'm just speechless at how they can do this to people, how people can be bankrupt with their medical bills. People have all kinds of illnesses.
Padilla says some managers and others who had only casual contact with plutonium at those plants have gotten their compensation, while workers who handled radioactive materials daily have been denied.
A call for universal health care led to the arrest of 22 union leaders in Connecticut earlier this month. The protests by the 22 union leaders followed a rally earlier in the day where thousands of health care reformers demanded that the Constitution state implement universal health care coverage. The union leaders went into the building and staged sit-ins in front of the offices for the governor, the state speaker of the House, and the president of the Senate. The protest was on June 1st.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show, halfway through second half of the show. How's everybody doing today? My name is Joe Vecchio, and this is the Cup of Joe radio show, and we are on the head-on radio network, The Horn, sounding out the truth. And if you're a right-winger out there listening to my show, screw you! That's all I got to say. I'm tired of you. I'm sick of you. You make the world sick. You know that? You make the world stink. You know, I wrote a post many years ago on my blog, and I'm going to say something about that in a minute, but the post was entitled Happy Prosperous Morons, and I'm going to make a confession here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships. See, I'm going to make a confession here. I do not like, for the most part, people I work with. I do not like the attitude of a lot of American workers, in as much as all they care about is their job, and they're not interested. I don't mean they care about the quality of work or their job. No, they just care that they have one. And I despise the fact that they spend a lot of time bitching and moaning about Paris Hilton or whatever other garbage nonsense gossip is going on. Just petty, pitiful stuff. And what musicians, you know, going out with what other musician, and listening to their lousy music every day. And it's not just enough that they listen to lousy music, but they play top 40 radio, which is really more like top 6 radio, because they only play the top same songs over and over again. And it's just another example of how corporate America screws everything over, because DJs and stuff like that, now they have absolutely no control over what they're playing. So everything's screened and everything's numberized, and even on the classic stations, the one that play the classic rock, which is, well, I hate that term because that's just the stuff that I used to listen to growing up, they still only play, you know, the same 5 or 6 songs over and over again. And it just sickens me, and I really, you know, I really don't have a lot of respect for them. I call them trash. There's a term I use for that, and it's trash. I used to use other terms that were racially motivated, but you know what? It really has nothing to do with race. It's just a matter of attitude. People with no sense of anything above and beyond. You go to work, you know, you get a job, you get married, you pump out a few more units, the kids go to school, blah, blah, blah. Cycle repeats itself. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Let's just go right to the phones. We have our good friend Pete online. Pete, pull up here. Have a cup of Joe. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. It's so nice to talk to you. I often don't get a chance to hear your show because of my work schedule, but I have been able to listen to it for the last few days. I'm enjoying it. It's a great show from Chicago.
Well, thank you. Well, you've been listening to reruns mainly. this is the first live show we've had in a little while. But that's great. I'm glad you're here.
There was one the other day. It was I think it was actually before you were on the Head On Radio Network. It was what were you doing then? You were broadcasting. It wasn't for Horn. It was a podcast, was it?
Yeah, I was basically doing from my home in Decatur, Georgia, where I would basically record a 1-hour show, mix it, and then just put it up on the site. And it wasn't a regular schedule so much. It was just once a week whenever I managed to get it taken care of, or once every couple of days or so.
Well, it was a great show. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank
you. The reason I called today is I'm still upset about this Halsinger guy that Bush wants to put in as the next Surgeon General.
Another crony.
Yeah, another crony. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, his position about gay folks, but, you know, that's only the tip of the iceberg. This guy is evil all the way through to the very core. And, you know, what you were talking about a little while ago about, you know, all of us just being consumers and we really don't matter. This guy, it's unbelievable. He, you know, when he was at Walter Reed, he was forced to admit blame for the deaths of 6 different patients in less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just astounding that anyone with a track record like that could be appointed to a Surgeon General. And then there's another case in Wyoming where he let a cancer patient, it was treatable, the cancer was treatable, he just let the cancer patient sit for 45 days.
This is my favorite one, though. He wrote a study on the dangers of anal eroticism.
Yeah, the gay blogs are having a field day with this guy. He goes back to, you know, pre-60s or whenever the psychiatric America, the AMA, the Psychiatric Association, or whatever, declassified homosexuality as being a mental illness. But you know, it's like in everything else, though, he doesn't keep up on that.
Conservatism is a mental illness, quite frankly.
Well, it's there's something desperately wrong, and another thing that's going on too is this stuff about the pumps in New Orleans, the replacement pumps that are defective. You know, everybody is reading about that, but I don't think everybody knows that these pumps were obtained from a company that from a Florida company that Jeb Bush was hooked up with, and it was George Bush's brother Jeb Bush who was able to get that. I assume it was a no bid contractor. If there was any bidding, it was minimal, and it was in the bag for Jeb Bush anyway. And so, you know, they rushed those pumps in there, and it was another crony thing like Halliburton and all the other, you know, mouse, you know, it's just amazing to me. It's hard to keep up with it. It's going to take us 50 years to unravel all that stuff.
Well, you know, and that's just the thing, you know, I have my blog, and I really haven't posted much on the blog for a long, long time, okay? Maybe almost 2 weeks now, which is a long time in the blogosphere. And it's mainly because I just look at everything. And first of all, everybody else is covering everything so well. And there's nothing I can add to it. But it's just so overwhelming, you know. I listen to all of it, and it's like, oh, my God, here's just another thing, another thing, another thing.
Right.
And what sickens me most is that you have, you know, the so-called professional media defending all of it. And it's like all the guys defending Scooter Libby. Joe Klein apparently had a big article in Time just whining about, oh, it wasn't such a big deal. Perjury wasn't that bad. Oh. And it's like, are you crazy? Are you nuts? I mean, what planet are you guys living on?
Exactly.
And these guys make tons of money.
Precisely. They just go in as stenographers and write and allow the Bush administration to rewrite history every day of the week. They never question anything. It's just a matter of press releases.
Well, just this last week, they had during the Republican debate, Mitt Romney, you know, continued the lie that Saddam Hussein did not let inspectors in. When of course he did let the inspectors in, and Hans Blix said he let the inspectors in, and they had greater access than they'd ever had before. And yet they continue, and the media continued to allow them because they didn't say one word about it.
Exactly.
They didn't say one damn word about it. And you know what's worse? Chris Dodd, the senator who's running for president on the Democratic side, on his website, one of the guys they took FaceTime. Who had the most FaceTime during those debates? And do you know who had the most FaceTime during those debates in both the Republicans and Democrats? Do you know who had the most FaceTime there, Peter?
No, I couldn't say.
Wolf Blitzer. Blitzer was on the air more than any of the candidates of either Democrats or the Republicans.
My stars.
That is where we stand today.
You know, it's not like every news person on the planet doesn't have a computer at their desk with full access to the internet. It's not like these facts are not in front of them. And it's not like
they have to go out and do a second job every single day. You know, I mean, this is their job. This is what they do for a living, and they paid a lot of money for it.
Yes, they do. And in the beginning, they were afraid to contradict anything the Bush administration was saying because, you know, it was right after the 9/11 scenario, and there was all this rah-rah and, you know, American pride and all this stuff. They were afraid to say anything about, you know, the uranium cake and all that kind of stuff. They didn't want to contradict Bush. But now Bush is at the lowest approval rating of in his entire career. They could do it now, but still they refuse to do it. And I'm having a hard time believing that it's the network brass that's dictating this stuff. You know, we talk about how, you know, NBC and ABC, all the big corporate news services are basically Republican controlled, and that they're controlling the reporters. Well, what about what's his name? The guy that does the on NBC,
Chris Matthews,
no.
Tim Russert,
no, the other guy. He does the evening, does it late in the evening. Lord, I wish I could call his name, but he does the rants about the Bush administration, and he ends it with
Keith Olbermann.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, I so need notes before I make a phone call, Joe. I'm seriously old, I got to tell you. At 54, you know, I just ate, the old Grayberry ate what he used to be. But, you know, you've got Olbermann doing that sort of thing on NBC. So, you know, if it were the corporate controlling it, they would have never allowed him on the air.
Well, maybe they just do that to give the pretense that there's fairness in it, but it really isn't. I mean, he's just like one lone voice in the wilderness, you know.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Before we continue on, let me just remind everybody that you're going to have your own show on the Head On Network starting next week, right? We had the promo for it earlier.
Well,
so
I am, and it's quite an honor to join you guys. You know, the Head On Radio Network has been very special to me for a long, long time. Since it came on the air, I've been listening to it and doing whatever I can do to help, and it's just an amazing, so it's really quite an honor to be involved in that. You know, well, this past weekend, Bob and I did some streaming tests and setting up, you know, audio boards and compressors and microphones and all that kind of stuff back and forth to the studio, and that all went well. So, you know, unless I just really freak out and go into hiding, I think actually, yes, I'm starting a new show this coming Monday. It's at 9 p.m.
We are glad to have you.
It's going to be very exciting. I'm hoping that the program will be a dialogue, if you will, with the gay community and the straight community. You know, what people see on television, you know, the glimpses of what gay folks are supposed to be like, you know, in the movies and the situation comedies and all that sort of thing, that really isn't it. And it's like Bob says, it's, you know, the Head On Radio Network is sort of a conversation on the back porch, you know, in the afternoon, sip the glass of tea, and I think it will be important in that way to hear from all sorts of folks and talk about some of these issues. But you know, Joe, I really got to tell you, being gay is about as important as being right-handed or having brown eyes or brown hair. You know, it's really just a minor fact of life. It's just a minor flip of a genetic switch, if you will. It's really not that big a thing. But
you know, when people talk to me about that, about whether it's a choice or whether it's born, I say, look, you know, some people like apples, some people like oranges, you know, and no one makes a decision about that, you know, when they're growing up, say, oh, I think I'll have apples, you know, or I think I'll like oranges. No, it's kind of built in. That's how I've always seen it.
Well, it is. I can testify to that. No one ever chooses their. If so, then you know, heterosexuals would be able to tell you when they chose to be straight, if that were a choice. But you know, as long as they're out there, you know, actively stalking us, and the Christians, the right wing Christians, are, you know, giving a wink to the people who are, you know, killing gay folks. The attacks have gone through the roof. We just had a very bad one here in Florida, where a young man in his 20s was murdered by a couple of guys.
And of course, you have the people saying, "Well, that can't be a hate crime because, you know, that's a special right."
Well, this is exactly true, and you know, our good friend Lottie from the chat room pointed out to me the other day that it's a special right that Christians enjoy. You know, Christians are actually religious. You know, you can't be. Hate crimes covers like what your religion, your race, all that sort of thing. So by covering religion, the Christians are already covered under hate crime law.
Right.
Yes. And I saw, and I got, the greatest thing. I just came across this. It's like, here's the line. So let me get this straight. Straight folks can get married, what, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 times? And we can't even get married once. I thought it was hysterical. Oh, my.
Talk God. About special rights. You know, I'm tired of this one. I think I'm going to turn her in for a younger model.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you know, Bob, you can't marry Harry. What's wrong with you?
And it's not a religious thing anyway. You know,
it's a control thing.
Yeah.
All organized religion is about control.
Well, it is. And marriage is really a state institution. It's the state that regulates it and gives you the life,
right.
The whole bit. It's just, you know, and nobody's going to make churches marry gay folks. Churches don't have to marry anybody.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, you don't have to go to a church. You go to the courthouse, you get a license. If you want to have a private ceremony in your house, you can
Absolutely.
Do that, you know. If you know, there's no law that says you got to go there and have a, you know, go to the big Catholic church or the big Protestant church or something like that and have a whole big doodah hoo-ha, as my roommate would say. There's no reason for that. I mean,
yeah.
if that's what your culture is and your belief in, you know, and you feel like you have to do that because that's what your family wants, well, that's one thing. But nobody's going to put a gun to your head and say you have to do that, you know.
Well, this is true. And churches seem to want to present it like it's the church that gives the authority to the state to marry. Well, it's the other way around. The state gives the authority
right.
to the church. It's
what is it they say? By the authority vested in me
Precisely.
By the state of Nevada or wherever?
Precisely. It's civil rights. And, you know, what was it, about 15, maybe 20 years ago, the Baptist church, the Southern Baptist branch anyway, finally apologized. Of course, they did it in small print. In the back of every newspaper they could find, an apology to black folks for endorsing slavery. You know, that's why there is a Southern Baptist denomination, but they split off from the main Baptist because they supported slavery, and you know, the other Baptists did not. And so, anyway, the Southern Baptists finally apologized in small print to black folks. And one of these days, it may be 100 years, they're going to be apologizing to gay folks too in small print. Why is it we have to drag those people kicking and screaming into the future? It's just amazing.
Well, it's really, there's really, and I talk about this with the Republican Party, but it really kind of boils the same way for conservatives. There's three types of people who are involved in it. You have the people who are in on the scam, the people who want to be in on the scam, and the people who aren't aware that they're being scammed. And the bulk of them are that third class, the people who aren't aware of it, because that's how you've lived your life. I mean, I grew up in New York City where everybody was Catholic that we knew, okay? And to not be Catholic was like unthinkable. How could you not be Catholic? You know, this is what your family is, and that's the way it is with these people. And unless you can think out of that and learn to think beyond that, then you're going to be stuck into that. Because I know a lot of people to whom going to church every week, you know, is what you do. You know, it's not an option to miss it. And the Baptists are even more hardcore. And you eventually get to the point where people blow up abortion clinics or kill a guy because he's gay or fly an airplane into a building. And I was reading a quote from Anne Lamont, a writer and philosopher, and I love what she wrote to say about it. So you can safely assume that you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do.
Very good point. Very good point. And, you know, And, you know, if God didn't approve of straight people, there wouldn't be any. Or gay people or anything.
And it goes to the whole question of what God is. You know, I became an agnostic, and I'm not an atheist because, you know, the only reason I'm not an atheist is because I admit that there's so much crap that I absolutely have no conception of. I mean, I look at the world, I look at the universe, you know, and I just try to figure out, and then I just can't. But not knowing that doesn't mean I have to accept every two-bit answer that I get from some huckster trying to sell me something and trying to run my life.
Absolutely, Joe. And, you know, over the last 50 years, religion as a whole has dumbed down to a tremendous degree. You know, in the past, you know, we've had, you know, very serious thinkers like Tozer and who is the German guy that came over?
Sigmund Freud?
Anyway, it's another one of my senior moments. But anyway, we've had some great deep thinkers in the Christian community who've written their whole library shelves devoted to these, you know, well thought out studies of God and what it means. It's all very deep stuff. But now what we're seeing is just this paperback religion. You know, people go into the Christian bookstore and they pick up these paperback books on faith and God and all these deep subjects, and religion has no depth anymore. That's why all these that is how the Republican Party has taken over the church. That is
sure.
Why. Because there's no depth anymore. Everybody's reading the paperbacks. That's not religion. That's bull.
It's just control. And, you know, a lot of religion has been like that. I mean, the Catholic Church many, 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 many years ago used to hold their services in Latin, and they banned almost literally banned people from reading the Bible. I mean, if you wanted to know something about the Bible, you had to go talk to your local priest. And that, of course, was a big cause of the Protestant Revolution. They were tired about that. They were tired of that. Because they said, listen, it's our Bible. You know, we should read it too, right? But the Catholic Church at the time says, well, you can't have that. And now you have people interpreting, you know, and people, they use the Bible as like a Chinese menu. You know, two from column A, one from column B. You know, and you have, you know, the Reverend Phelps with his GodHatesFags.com, and someone printed out a website called GodHateShrimp.com, because in the same section of the Bible, the same guy talking about how, you know, homosexuality is an abomination before the Lord says that if you eat anything that comes out of the ocean that doesn't have fins and doesn't, you know, have scales or whatever, then it's an abomination before the Lord. And, of course, he wasn't even talking to Gentiles. He was talking to the Jews. This was rules he was setting out for Jewish leaders, apparently. So, you know, so therefore, if you have shrimp, you're committing an abomination against the Lord. If you eat shrimp and if you eat lobster, if you eat crab.
And they're getting
you're committing
away
an abomination.
Absolutely, Joe. And they're getting away with that because of the depth of the ignorance of the American population. The population as a whole will tell you in all the surveys that they believe in God and that they believe that God created the earth, and, you know, whether or not they believe it was in 7 days or they add evolution to it, it doesn't really matter. But the depth of ignorance regarding the Bible is just staggering. Do you know that the majority of the American people cannot tell you what the names of the four Gospels are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They won't be able to. People will tell you that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. You know, you can't make this stuff up. This is what the American people believe, and this is how they get away with selling all this stuff about the shrimp and the gays and you know, hell, by that definition, you shouldn't be able to play football. Hell, it's made from pigskin, or at least it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, your people can't differentiate, and again, people are just looking for some sort of some sort of uniformity to their lives. Something said, okay, if we do this, then this happened. But it doesn't really work that way. And to people like me, who, you know, kind of went above and beyond and started thinking about what was being taught in church and thought, wait a minute, a lot of it doesn't make sense. It's a lot more difficult a road to travel, because, you know, you really kind of have to try to figure things out for yourself, because you don't have this kind of, you know, this guidebook that guides you in the wrong direction, but at least, you know, you kind of sort of know where you're going, maybe.
Right.
and here's the big thing. I do not believe in the idea of heaven and hell. I do not know if an afterlife exists. I miss my lovely, wonderful wife, and I do want to see her again, and so I hope there's some kind of afterlife where I can do that, but I don't believe in the heaven and hell stuff.
Well,
I don't believe in any of that.
And that's what it's about, Joe. It's hope, just having hope, and it's about love, and it's about personal relationships. But I've got to tell you, though, about the hell part, I'm just tickled to death that Falwell is bending over in front of Satan. Baby, take it.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. We really don't know that. I certainly hope that there is some sort of cosmic justice, because, quite frankly, I think Jerry Falwell was one of those guys that didn't necessarily even believe half of the stuff he was saying. He was just using it to get money and get power.
Oh, absolutely. Just like the Robertson guy, you know, with his diamond mines and the airplanes.
Right.
The whole bit.
And you know, and these are the ones that believe in judgment after death. I mean, if they really believe what they're saying, shouldn't they really be afraid? Because look, you know, they could lie to me, they could lie to all their followers, they could lie to television audience, they could lie to Congress, they can lie to a judge and jury. But if you really believe in this all-knowing, all-seeing God, then you can't lie to that person, can you? And you know, they're going to have to face a judgment. They're going to have to face somebody who knows everything that they've done, that they can't lie to, that they can't kind of just, you know, schlep off.
Exactly.
And you wonder what motivates their thought process if they really do believe it. So I really have a lot of difficulty, you know, believing that they believe the stuff that they say.
Well,
I guess when my time comes, I'll find out, just like we all will.
And exactly. The thing is that they will not leave personal faith alone. What they want to do is define your faith. And what they want to do is control you by telling you what to believe, and then you underscore that by mixing God into the equation. And what happens? The war in Iraq becomes a holy war.
Sure.
You've got
crusade.
Who was the general who got up in front of the congregation and said that this was a holy war and that God ordained it and the whole bit? This was
and God put George Bush in office so that this could happen. Yeah,
yes.
I know who you're talking about, and I can't remember his name either.
And
this all goes back to some
biblical legend about something called the Prince of Persia, and I think it was the angel, it was Gabriel, had to, in some obscure passage in the Old Testament, had to wrestle with the Prince of Persia. Somebody had asked for help, and the angel Gabriel, I believe it was Gabriel, was going to help that person or group of people, probably the Jews. And anyway, the, quote, Prince of Persia rose up, and the angel had to struggle with him to get past. And of course, so everybody is saying, at least these people are saying, that Iraq and Iran and the whole Middle East represents the Prince of Persia, and they must be, you know.
We're going to be fighting Xerxes next.
Exactly. None of this has any basis in what should be our reality. What happened to loving your brother? What happened to the,
There's no profit in that, Peter. Listen, I hate to cut you off, but the show is really about over here. We've only got a couple of minutes left, and I really want to thank you. And you're starting June 18th at 9 p.m., is that correct?
This is correct. It'll be at 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Eastern,
yes.
Right?
Eastern Standard Time?
Okay.
Yes.
So it'll be 8 o'clock my time.
Absolutely. It'll be dark, except in California.
Okay, well, Peter, thanks for calling in, and we're looking forward to your show.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Joe. I enjoyed talking to you.
Okay, great. Thanks. Peter Godbold, ladies and gentlemen, who will be doing a show here on the Head On Radio Network. And I hate it to, you know, I really hate cutting people off, but we're really running out of time here. So let me just say my goodbyes, and we'll get out of here. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network. Bob Kincaid running the board out there in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Show is sponsored by Unreported News. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. And I'm sorry we didn't do their spot today because we kind of got caught up with talking. But that's okay. Conversation radio. That's what we're all about. Fox Stuff with John Fox is next on all of your Head-On Radio Network stations. And until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, 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 get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, open a jar of John, don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug, with the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave, give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do, and a rich meal, serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray.
else.
Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is en route back to the U.S., having concluded his European tour today in Bulgaria. Discussions there revolved around the proposed U.S. missile defense system and free market economic trade. Iraq's controversial Sunni parliament speaker was voted out today. He will be replaced by another Sunni Arab. The speaker has been called radical and erratic by fellow lawmakers. The UK's future Prime Minister Gordon Brown arrived in Baghdad this morning to meet with Iraqi officials. Britain, America's staunchest ally in Iraq, has already begun withdrawing its troops. Three U.S. soldiers were killed and another six wounded yesterday when a suicide bomber blew up a major highway bridge south of Baghdad. Three other American troops were killed in other incidents over the weekend. Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman said yesterday the U.S. should use military action against Iran to stop it from helping insurgents in Iraq. Lieberman suggested on Face the Nation America could use airstrikes instead of committing ground troops. Today, Kuwait said it would not permit the U.S. to use its bases for an attack on Iran. Kuwait was the main staging ground for the 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq. 15,000 American troops are stationed there now. During an interview with Meet the Press yesterday, former Secretary of State Colin Powell said the 380 Guantanamo Bay prisoners should be moved to the U.S. immediately and the detention facility closed. The retired general said the prison is hurting America's reputation overseas. The Washington Post reports the CIA will trim 10% from its annual budget for contractors. About a third of CIA employees are private contractors. The agency's director says their work has not been supervised competently. In Gaza, street fighting between rival Palestinian forces continues today. This